Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 37, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 12, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. From Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhagavat Sanghi, Sangha, means association with persons who are attached to the Lord. Sangha means attachment. And he who constantly has that attachment to the Lord is called Sanghi. Right? So that's why it's saying the Sangha means attachment. So that's why if there's no attachment, it's not Sangha. Right? So if you're moving with the materialist, because there's no attachment, it's not Sangha. Right? So you don't get any bad association. But if there's attachment, then that's bad association. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why this is on associated, like-minded, affectionate devotees. Right?
Nice. When you say like-minded, it's not all devotee. It is not all devotee. It is like-minded.
Like-minded, affectionate devotees.
Is it all devotees?
It means you're associating with all devotees, but it's talking about here specific because you associate with devotees.
Yes.
But who you spend that time with, that aspect of attachment with, that will be those who are like-minded.
Yes.
You know, that they have that nice interaction with you, like that, and like that. That's the whole thing.
Yes.
Because one deals very generally with all the devotees, but then there's who you're going to spend closer time with, you know, the dadati, prati, grinati, guyam, that aspect. Even a moment's association with such a person cannot be compared to attaining the heavenly planets. In praising association of the devotees, the sages at Naimisharanya show that they have also a similar desire for the association of devotees. The verse is used here as an example since it acts as a good instruction for others. The affectionate nature of devotees, snigdha, should be implied from the verse. Right? So that's what he's saying here, the affectionate nature of devotees. Right? So that's why affectionate devotees up there. One should also see a similar verse in the fourth canto. Quote, if one, by chance, associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer has any attraction for the results of karma and jnana. What interest, then, can he have in the benedictions of the demigods, who are subject to the laws of birth and death? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-57. Right? So, that means that association means this. You like associating with devotees. You like being in that. So that's where then you get this effect. But, we see is that even anyway, you're just associating that you're associating. Then Krishna is so pleased that this is the result.
Mm.
Says he no longer has any attraction for the results of karma and jnana. So it may be, yeah. So it's just that just starts to go away. That's how one takes up devotional service, because the karma and jnana don't have the attraction like they used to. Otherwise, how do you take it up?
Mm.
Right? So that's the glory of the association of devotees. And then from our side, then if that's done, we like that. We like being in that association, then it'll go even quicker. Does that make sense? So just the association will give amazing results. And if we have an affinity for that, then it will go even nicer. So,
that is the case of Datta Kriya. When you were near this lady.
Yes. Yeah, then just that detachment is there. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. This verse explains how much we should speak of the glories of the great ocean of association with such great devotees who have become visible in front of us. We should not compare a moment's association with devotees who are attached to the Lord with swarga, the result of karma, or liberation, the result of jnana. We cannot compare at all that association with the worldly blessings of men in this world, such as a kingdom. That is because by the association of devotees, the sprout of bhakti, which is very rare, appears. We should not even compare the complete results of karma or jnana with a moment's association with a devotee or with a small particle of sadhana bhakti. Because all these things, this we're sometimes talking about, oh, but how long will it take and this and that. It's like we've been in the material world since time immemorial and we're getting grumpy about a few years. You know, it's like, it's just, because, so we've seen the process work. Maharaj Katvanga, the gopis, the wives of the Brahmins, in a moment. So, you know, if it's been 20 years and we're getting grumpy, it's we're the cause of the grumpiness, not the process. Right? Because that's what it says, a moment's association, one can take advantage. But we hold ourselves back. Mm.
Okay. Further elaborate on this point, Srila Prabhupada, to explain the irrelevance of one lifetime, the insignificance of one lifetime. Prabhupada, the disciple said that you try this Krishna consciousness for this lifetime, you like it, very good. If you don't like it, go back to doing what you're doing.
Yeah, next life. Yeah, it's not really, it's not so significant. It's just another lifetime in a string of millions and millions of lifetimes. So. We cannot compare all that association with the worldly blessings of men in this world, such as a kingdom. That is because by the association of devotees, the sprout of bhakti, which is very rare, appears. We should not even compare the complete results of karma jnana with a moment's association with a devotee, or with a small particle of sadhana bhakti. What then to speak of devotee association of long duration? Or even more, what to speak of bhakti which results from that association? Even more, what can we say about attaining prema, which is the result of bhakti? These comparisons are suggested in the verse. Right, so you say you take up the sadhana, from that sadhana, then you get bhakti, from that bhakti you get prema. These comparisons are suggested in the verse. The imperative form of the verb is used for supposition. Since it is used in the negative, the meaning is that we should not even imagine a comparison between devotee association and the other items. Just as one could never compare Mount Meru to a mustard seed. You know, you just wouldn't do it. The verb is the plural number. In order to suggest that it's not possible for anyone to disprove this statement, since it is the opinion of many. The importance of association with the devotees who are attached to the Lord may be explained in the terms of the following verse. Quote, the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman, and even more from attachment to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:31-35. Just as those who associate with persons attached to women are criticized more than those who associate with a woman, association with a person attached to the Lord is praised more and is more desirable than association with the Lord himself. Right? So just as the man's attached to the woman, that's one thing, but one who's attached to, one associates with those who are attached to women, then that's even more entangling. So in the same way, and you know, because the opposite, because it's whatever's the highest, lowest here is the highest. So the association with the Lord, that gives one result, but association with those who are attached to the Lord gives even a higher result. Because then, from that, then we develop the prema. Because we associate with Krishna, we may or may not. Right? We have that example of that old lady who was carrying the bundle of sticks. She dropped the sticks, cried out to Krishna. Krishna came. She asked him to put this bundle of sticks back on her head. She did, and then he left. And then afterwards she goes, oh, wait a minute. You know, it's like, yeah. So that's the whole point. Association with those attached to Krishna is more important than association with Krishna. Right? That's why you see is that this mentality, no, I have to be there right in the front, be direct, all this, and will it be direct, all so far in the back, das, hey, why can't I just be, you know, like this kind of stuff. Then that's the point here, is that the association with those who have attachment. Right? So here, affectionate devotees. So here is that, then you have the aspect of you're attached to Krishna. Not because that's the Sangha. So Sanghi Sangha, yeah. We're associating with those who have that attachment for Krishna. Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's the one, two, 229. It is also said in the Hari Bhakti Shuddha Doi, a man will attain the qualities of a person with whom he associates, just as a crystal takes up the color of the object next to it. Therefore, the wise man will take shelter of those who have qualities like his own for the prosperity of his family. Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Shuddha Doi, there's a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father, Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way. My dear son, association is very important, right? You want to be a good demon, you associate with big demons, right? It acts just like a crystal stone, which will affect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. Another example, that's why we're, you know, that's the aspect of purification. We're thinking that getting purified is important. Remove the sin, get purified, do the pious activities, get purified. But its only value is that then in a pure heart you can accept Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the pot. You wash the pot really nicely, make sure it's really clean. For what purpose? Just to be clean? No, so now you can cook. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the process of, because it's being done for the purpose of cooking, therefore the cook washing the pot's not, it's called cooking. You know what I'm saying? Let's say someone walks in, you know, at, well, let's see. What would be the proper, okay, means the offering's at 12, so someone walks into the kitchen at 20 minutes until 12, right? That's a standard amount of time in the kitchen, right, for doing the offering, yeah? I mean, I'm not extending it too much, I'm not being rash, and it should be 15 minutes or something. No, 20 is okay. Okay, so they walk into the kitchen, and they see the cook washing a pot, right? So they don't ask, oh, you're washing pots? Then they go, oh, you're cooking the noon offering? You understand? So that's the point. The sadhana bhakti is counted as bhakti because then by that progression it brings you closer and closer. But it's actually the interaction with the devotees and that service to Krishna, that's what's moving you forward. The other is just making it so that you can take part. So they're non-different, so you don't make a distinction. Does that make sense? Because its intent is pure devotion, therefore it's classed as devotional service. Another example given in this connection, that if a man is potent and the woman is not diseased, then by their conjugation there will be conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means is they're in the proper position, so they're bona fide line. One is a sincere student, then one will learn Krishna consciousness very nicely. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse makes clear the power of association with like-minded persons, using an example. This is a statement of Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad. Though the demon's intention was otherwise, because it is a general statement, it is possible to use the verse according to one's own intentions. This is the aim of the author. Right? So that's what we're meaning before, is when all these personalities are giving a general statement. And that general statement is done very nicely. We accept that as a good statement. Like here, we're quoting from Hiranyakashipu. We see many times the Acharyas are quoting from Shankaracharya or even the commentaries on Shankaravasya. Like that. because they're giving a general statement. Veda means this, or like this. And it's correct. It's in line with the proper understanding. When they give details within their philosophy, that's when. Now, when Hiranyakashipu talks details, that's when the philosophy is not bona fide. Because the points are general. Then his intention is to become demoniac, but our intention is to become devotional, like Pallad, Sri Pallad. This is the aim of the offer. Mani, Vat, means like a crystal. It can be used here as an example to illustrate taking up the qualities of an object in proximity. Though it also has the quality of being completely unsteady, taking up any color of any nearby object. Sva Yutan here indicates Sajatiyan, like-minded. Right? So you're going to associate with all devotees, but you're going to spend more time or effort with those who are like-minded. Right? 1:2, 2:30. Chanting the name of the Lord, verse 92 from the second canto. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. Constant chanting after the ways of the great authorities. Right? So we don't make up our own system. We follow what they do. Is the doubtless and fearless, right? It means that it won't give you any other result. It's fearless. It will establish you properly. Right? And way of success for all, right? Not just those born in India or the Indian subcontinent or, you know, like that. Including those who are free from material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, so that catches everybody else, right? And those who are self-satisfied. So even those who are self-satisfied, then they take up this process. Srila Prabhupada, chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is very strongly stressed in the second canto. First chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the following way. Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikit, quote, "My dear King, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage," end quote. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis are aspiring after the fruit of results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Right? Sukadeva uses the word nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. Right? So we don't have to decide. We don't have to come up with something. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So, Sukadeva, that's why you see the Vaishnavas are not always about conclusion, because someone who's liberated, it's just about conclusions. Right? Someone who has other interests, then you may want conclusions or not. Because one is either the... If you come to conclusion, that either means no sense gratification or no liberation, right? No speculation. Right? Does that make sense? So they don't like conclusions. That's the...
1999, one summit audio series, lecture series, you made this point that a lot of problems were there and everybody in the community gathered together and they wanted to know what is the root of the problem, and then you said that Vedic culture is the solution, and Vedic culture means it starts with one's own self, and after that everybody went.
By the way, yeah.
That was the conclusion.
Yeah, because they want to know how it's everybody else's fault. You know, I've come here to get the good association. I remember when somebody was talking once about how they expected to come into the Gurukul and all these Bengali boys as they walk around and do their sweeping and work. They'd all be singing little snippets of Narottam Das Thakur's songs, and everything would be so perfect, and I can walk in here with all my oceans of impurities and lack of culture and everything, but because everybody else is so fabulous and wonderful, I'll be so inspired, and this way then I'll just take it up and just surrender to Krishna. And they weren't that good, and so therefore I didn't surrender, and therefore it's everybody else's fault. What to do? He was a liberated soul, and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive, right? Because it's always the other guy's fault, right? So, Sukadev Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. And so now it's just a matter of becoming steady in devotional service, getting a taste, moving forward, and that will come by this constant chanting in the association of devotees. That's how it's going to get. Does that make sense? So the point is you, it's like, let us say one has jaundice, okay? And so if you eat sugar, it's bitter. It means literally. Right? So now, but you take the medicine, you follow the practice, you know, like that, and then it comes to the point where sugar has no taste at all. It's not sweet, it's not bitter. So we may say, oh, there's no taste, this is not good, but it's not bitter anymore. So that's just a natural progression. Then after having no taste, then there'll start to be a little taste. Right? So if you put 5 cups of, sugar into your milk, then it'll taste a little sweet. So the point is that, but slowly, slowly, then it'll come where the regular full taste of the sweetness is there in chanting the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami, Ichchatam refers to those desiring material satisfaction. Nirvidyamananam refers to those desiring liberation. Yogi Nam refers to liberated persons. Namakirtana has no fear attached to it. It is beneficial for all. Footnote 10. It is not given up at a certain stage for another practice which must be learned with extra endeavor and time, such as karma followed by jnana, followed by yoga, and followed by bhakti. Right? So when we talk about the yoga ladder, it's not that we have to go through those stages. It means learn, practice the karma. And when that comes to its perfectional state, then we take up jnana. We're doing them all at once. Though we may be more prominent in the one. Right? But it's the same path. Not 4 different paths. Right? It's one path. So what you're learning in the process of sadhana is the same thing that will be done in the advanced stages. It's just that the karma may take more prominent, then the jnana more prominent, then the yoga more prominent. Then it comes to the natural balance of bhakti. Namkirtan has no fear attached to it. It is beneficial for all, since it acts both as the sadhana and the sadhya. Right? Because so he's saying, oh, but I put in so much work and all that, and then I have to leave that for the next thing and learn something new. No, it just naturally comes. They're naturally, it's all, in bhakti, they're all connected. Right? But otherwise, this yoga ladder, yes, somebody will be the karmi for, who knows, thousands and thousands of lifetimes, and they become the jnani for so many thousands, and the yogi, and then, like this. But only if they bump into a devotee for that moment, then they take up bhakti. That's what we see, if someone just comes in contact, then they will come in, they will take up devotional service. But there's others that will go thousands and thousands of, it's just like we're saying, if Prabhupada said Ravi Shankar was playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes, that's why he was that good. So that's just playing sitar. How many more lifetimes he's going to go? And then he decides he doesn't want to play sitar anymore, and he goes for, the ukulele or something. It's just, what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of that, and when he'll give up music and then take up something else. Like this, and they just keep going, and how much there is to do in karma. So technically, you only say thousands and thousands so no one gets scared. But otherwise, literally, it's millions and millions. That's why it says out of millions of or thousands of thousands of so millions are unlimited living entities, then someone's human. Out of that, then there's, you know, so many millions like this, then you have someone who's interested in, you know, following is, I say, very few are, what do you call it, civilized. Then he brings it up and up and up, like this. So you're talking about it's so rare. So if we see that there's all so many devotees in this moon, because of that moment association, and that, like it was pointed out, that changes everything. That's the problem, that action will be there. Does that make sense? So that's actually what we're dealing with. Not that, yes, I'm so smart, and I, you know, otherwise, we were using our brain before we met the devotees, why didn't we take up devotional service? It's only meeting the devotees, then it started to work. So it's not actually to do with our deep, you know, search for the absolute truth and all these other glorious things. That's a nice thing. It's good. So when you come across it, then you may appreciate it. But the point is what we deem as spiritual search by devotional service is not. Right? But we're open to, you know, just like we say before, the pious persons, because they know that doing kirtan, serving, you know, Brahmins, distributing prasad, giving charity, you know, like this, hearing the holy name and, you know, pastimes of the Lord is pious. They're willing to do it. So they'll invite the devotees over to the house for a program. Their intent is to become more pious and free themselves of karma. But what they don't know is that moment's association, now they're being put on the path of bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedic system is written the way it is.
Right? So, yes. The most intelligent people will take to this chanting of
it. Yes. And so we see is who's taken it up. They're the most intelligent, not the ones that are, you know, in the world are called most intelligent, because they haven't taken it up. So technically, they're not that smart. You know, maybe mechanically something, yes, but so what? So, yeah, it's like, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, okay, that means that. It may be mentioned to him about that. It needs to be in bold. It is understood from this scripture that bhakti is the method. Among the angas of bhakti, is one of them ascertained as the king. This verse answers, chanting the name of the Lord is the principal method. Among all the angas of bhakti, the chief ones are hearing, chanting, and remembering, as mentioned in the verse. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Srotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyasche Chech Chetabhyam Chetatabhyam. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15. Among those three, chanting is the chief. Among the different types of chanting, glorify the names, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Chanting the name of the Lord is supreme. The phrase namanukirtanam means either chanting the name according to one's bhakti or chanting the name continuously, since anu means both according to and continuously. This has been ascertained nirnitam by the previous acharyas. Not just by me in the present time. Remember before he mentioned plural. It means it's not just he's saying that, but he's saying it in the plural, like it's the authorities, great authorities are saying. And because of this, one need not ask for further proof. That is the meaning of Nirnitam. What is this chanting of the name? It is without fear for all. What else can be said about chanting the name of the Lord? Since there are no reservations arising from considerations of pure or impure, time, place, candidate, or ingredients, right? For karma, you have to consider all that. Like that. And even in gyan, then there must be a level of purity of that, otherwise you can't take it up. Right? So, jnana yoga can only be practiced if you've come to some degree in karma yoga. So without purity, you can't just use the intellect, and that becomes concrete for one. If one hasn't used engaged interacting with the abstract, you know, in the senses, until the point where then the points of detachment have meaning. Does that make sense? Means if you're still attached to material things, then jnana yoga won't work for you so well. Means we're always using all these together. But like we said, the prominence will be in karma yoga. Because we're not just following the one path and when it's finished calling the next. Like that. Because we say it's the yoga ladder. Right? But the yoga ladder means that it is one thing. A ladder is one thing. It may have rungs. But for the karmis, there's only karma yoga. For the jnanis, there's just jnana yoga. For the yogis, it's just the, you know, astanga yoga there. Or the jnana yoga. But for the devotees, there's only bhakti, but it has these rungs, depending upon one's advancement. So, okay. Chanting the name of the Lord. Where are we? Down here. Then it is not the highest process for both sadhakas. Akuto bhayam. Even the lowest of humanity who cannot tolerate service to the Lord are not opposed to this process of chanting. Hey, someone who won't take up service to the Lord, but they don't mind kirtan. You know, the yoga studios are a good example. People will come there, they'll chant, they'll take part. But if you tell them, you know, hey, come to the temple, do something, how many come? Like, in programs that I've done outside in this one country, then, you know, there have been so many. That means however many are there. And only this last time, one program, somebody asks, you know, do you guys, you know, what do you guys do? Do you do more of this? Or will you have a place? Do you do these things? And we said yes, and that, and they said, so what is the timing? We said the time, and they were there the next day. Okay. So it's just that, you know, so everybody will chant, but who actually wants to do service? Who wants to find out more? Right? So that's the whole point. By chanting, then it will build up. Yes?
There was one person, when I was working in the company, he says, I am an atheist, but I like his con. Because when I go to ISKCON, you sing in different tunes, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I like that.
Yes, yes. And he probably also is okay with the prasad.
So when I used to travel with him, I used to put, like, he used to ride the bike, I used to sit behind. I used to think, why I was happy for those nursing arti.
Okay.
Used to like a lot.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's the trick. You just find what he likes. Like, remember once was, sweet rice, it's rice cooked in milk. If someone asks, it's rice cooked in milk. Because generally you don't need to mention sugar. If it's a sweet, then, you know, it goes. But this person was a real hardcore, food freak. Yeah, no sugar at all, right? You know, it's like that. And he loves sweet rice. He would drink so much. And one time he was sitting there, you know, he drank so much. He had a cup of that. I love this sweet rice. And he was telling me, it's just rice and milk cooked together. It's so good. You know, just nobody said anything. You know? So, like that. They just, that Krishna is so clever. He's so attractive that even like this, those who don't want to do service, everybody's attractive. That's why he's called Krishna, the all-attractive. So then, doubt comes up. Quote, then it is not the highest process for both sadhakas and siddhas, right? Because then, it, you know, means even the lowest of humanity can do it, as opposed, you know, are not opposed to this process. They're not opposed to this process. So then, now the doubt comes up. So then, okay, it works for sadhakas, but it can't be the process for siddhas. Right? The answer is given. It fulfills everyone's desires. Nirvidyamananam means that those who are free from all desires, even from the desire for liberation. Thus it refers to the devotees. Ichatam means those who have desires for swarga or moksha. Mm-hmm. Yoginam refers to atmaramas who are liberated. Right, so you have the persons who have the material desire for either swarga or liberation. Right, then they'll appreciate. Then those who are liberated themselves and already on that spiritual platform, then they'll appreciate it. And of course, then the devotees who are free from all desires, so they don't desire karma, jnana, or yoga. Right? Yes. This is the process for the devotees, for those desiring material benefits and liberation, and for those who have been liberated. Okay, now this is the process for the devotees, for those desiring material benefits and liberation, and for those who have been liberated, right? It's the process for everybody, right? Because the doubt came up is that, oh no, it's only for the lowest of humanity. Right? This process has been ascertained as suitable for both the sadhaka and siddha, being both the means and the goal. That's the whole point, is that it's a process that will get you to the goal, and it is the goal. Someone who is siddha, they just chant. Someone who is not siddha, that by chanting, they will come to that position. 1.2.231. In the Adi Purana, it is said, by singing my names, a person will attain a position close to me. I make this promise. That person, O Arjun, purchases me. Srila Prabhupada. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, quote, anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. Because Krishna's name are non-different, you're always chanting, you're always associating with Krishna. And for such a devotee, then he is easily purchased. Right? So then he is a person that is easily available. So this chanting process, that's why it's said to be the most important. But, of course, it's always by the association of devotees, that's where you get the name. Right? Okay. 1.2.232. In the Padma Purana, it is said, the names of the Lord remain constantly in the mouth of that person who serves Vasudeva for 1,000 births. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here's another one. Please be bold. In order to increase that person's eagerness for devotion, the Lord, by His own will make that person take repeated birth. Right, so if one's not so, whatever we generally see is the application is one's not, then he takes birth again. Then he then takes it up again and again and again. So then he's served 1,000 births. Then you see is then he comes to that place for eagerness for devotion. Yes. Right? So if we've been told it can be done in one lifetime, that means if you apply yourself, it can be done in one lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's why examples are given of persons who are in worse condition than us, like Jagai and Madhai. And they've done it. So if they can do it, surely we can do it. Yes. You know, the other aspect is that we've been already doing this for 999 births, and hopefully this one's the one. Right? Yatas tatraiva nama chinta chamani krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purna shudho nitya mukto bhinnatvan nama namino. It is also said in the Padma Purana, the name of the Lord fulfills all desires like Chintamani. He is the very form of Krishna. It is full of consciousness and rasa. It is complete, pure, and eternally liberated. This is because of the non-difference of the name and Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. The name is called Chintamani because it bestows all things a person may desire. This is so because it is the sarup of Krishna. The other words describe Krishna. The name is the same as Krishna because it is non-different from him. The meaning here is that the one tattva of eternity, knowledge, bliss, and rasa appears in two forms, rupa and nama. If one is particularly inquisitive, one can consult the chapter on Bhagavan in the Bhagavat Sandarbha. If you want to, you know, really know the detail there. So he has these two forms. He's there as in rasa, and I mean in his own original form, and in the form of the name. So they're non-different. So that's why the devotees always chanting the name are always with Krishna. 1.2.2.34 Yata tatraiva Ata Shri Krishna namadi nabhavet grahyam indriyahi sevan mukhe hi jivadao swayam eva spuratyada. Also from the Padma Purana, Krishna and his names cannot be grasped by the material senses, but when a person develops the tendency to accept the Lord's name and form, Krishna then spontaneously appears on the tongue and in the other senses. And so when we have that desire, Krishna will appear. Like that. Srila Prabhupada. In the Padma Purana also it is stated, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudeva. And so that's what it's saying before, serving. So we see is that's why in one sense we're mentioning about anybody who's following the Vedic system and, you know, is worshiping the Lord. So even if they're not sampradayic and that and have that shraddha, still they're counted. These are within these so many births. Because then at one point that gets to where that purification comes to the point where now they will appreciate the association of devotees. Krishna puts them in contact with the devotees, they take up that faith.
Yes.
It is further said in the Padma Purana. Does that make sense? So that's why they're counted as devotees in some context, and other ones they're not, because they're not. So most of the time when we're talking about sadhakas and that, or sampradaya, means someone who has developed that faith. So now that with that faith, now they're associated with devotees with that focus of developing, you know, love for Krishna. Does that make sense? So from that, from Shraddha, then Shraddha, you know, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, that whole process. Those who are before that, just in what do you call it? Unknown pious?
Agyata
Sukriti. They don't actually understand the aspect of pure devotion. So they're worshipping the Lord, but it's an anga of whatever else they're doing. Like you go to, you know, so many pious people's houses, you know, on the altar they'll have Krishna and they'll do that worship. But it's just part of everything else that they do. But in that way they're devotees, they'll consider themselves. But at the same time is technically not. You know, just like in some capacities they're doing the activities in that, we may see from the smartas who are, you know, their deity is Vishnu, so they call themselves Vaishnavas. They'll say they're devotees. But it's only that worship is only an unga of their karma. Right? But at the same time, as the practices in that are the same. So we're going to we'll see it that way. But if we're talking about being serious about devotional service, that we're talking about going the quick path, means going in one lifetime rather than thousands of lifetimes, then that means then we would say that attitude won't work. Right? The secondary may, but the attitude won't.
Is this common to the Karma Yoga section?
It depends. What's their goal? It means if they're trying to go to the heavenly planets, but they do that through worshipping Vishnu, or they're trying to, then it's karma. If you see that it's, they want liberation from worshipping Krishna, then it works in that It'll be one of these two. Because karma means dharma artha kama, right? And then jnana means moksha. So if you're doing dharma and you want material benefit, it means artha and kama. Right? Because otherwise, why are you going to perform the dharma? The others are performing the dharma for the moksha. Right? So it's the same. And then the bhaktis are performing the same dharma to please Krishna as bhakti. So that's why all members of the Vedic society, if they're following properly, then they're all doing the same activity. It's just where the emphasis is and what the intent is. Right? It's for the devotee, it's exclusive. For the karmas and jnanis, it's an unga of their process of karma and jnana. Does that make sense?
Like in Maharashtra, I don't know about other states. In Maharashtra, all Ganpati temples, all Ganpati worship.
All?
Ganpati temples.
Ganpati.
All Ganpati worship. Ganpati Aarti has the Ganpati this thing praise. End of the Ganpati praise is the entire section of completely Vishnu Tattva related praise. And Hare Rama, that thing. Compulsory. And this is their vidhi to praise Ganpati to make Ganpati.
Yes, yes. Yes. That's why I was saying bhakti is worked into all aspects of the Vedic culture. So they have to do those things. Just like to worship the demigod, they have to worship Vishnu. Yeah, otherwise it's not complete. It's just like you do the demigod worship, you have to worship Vishnu Shaligram, and then the remnants from that goes to the demigod. But they're just seeing it as they're worshipping the demigod, and one of the technicalities is worshipping the Shaligram. So like this, then it takes so many lifetimes. But when they meet a devotee, that's what it means then in that one moment, then that faith in karma and jnana goes. One may say, no, but I have so much, but what path are we following? Does that make sense? Even the most neophyte devotee, they're not following a path technically of karma or jnana. They're following a path of bhakti. It may have many obstacles of karma and jnana on it because of attachments, but their faith is not in karma or jnana. Their faith is in bhakti. Though they may have so many distractions, and so that's why the shastras then talk about all those distractions, how one can avoid that. It is further said in the Padma Purana, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord Himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. End quote. The holy name cannot therefore be chanted offensively by one who has failed to purify his senses. Right? So that's why we're engaged in purifying the senses. But how do we do it? In connection with bhakti. We don't follow the processes of prayaschitta. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offensively. Right? So we take up the chanting, and by that constant chanting, then we'll become purified, so then we start chanting offensively. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, right? Because Krishna fulfills the desire. It's like Chintamani. So you want to maintain material desire, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. You want to move forward, then he'll fulfill that desire. One should, therefore, be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Maha Mantra. Right? So then, as one develops, one advances, then one starts to appreciate more and more. Srila right? Jiva Goswami. Sevan Mukhe means inclined to accept the Lord's name and form. He indicates accomplishment. There's the description of Bharata as he gave up the body of a deer. This illustrates this spontaneous appearance of the Lord's name. He gave up his body of the deer while smiling broadly, saying, "All respects to Narayana, the Lord." Srimad Bhagavatam 5:14-45. Because, you know, I mean, a deer's acute and all that, but, you know, there's a limit to, really hard to hold beads, you know? Yeah. There's also the case of Gajendra. Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indudumna and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:3-1. That's what Prabhupada says, you're always chanting these mantras. Then by Krishna's grace you can always remember them. 1:2, 2:35-37. Residing in Mathura, verse 92, illustrated in the Padma Purana. Liberation is the greatest result that can be attained at other holy places. But devotion to the Lord, which is desired by the liberated souls, can be attained at Mathura. Mathura bestows dharma, artha, and kama to those who have material desires. It awards liberation to those desiring liberation. It awards bhakti to those desiring bhakti. What intelligent person will not take shelter of Mathura? Oh, Mathura is most auspicious and greater than Vaikuntha, Goloka. Footnote 11. It will be explained later in the commentary 1:2-3:03 that Vaikuntha means Goloka, a part of Braja filled with Aishwarya. Mathura here means Gokula. Right? So you have, when we say Goloka, then we're generally used to saying it's as the whole planet. So it does refer to the whole planet, because Goloka means the place where the cows reside. So then they're in all the pastimes of Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Right? You see them in the whole. That's very prominent there. So, but you can also divide it where you have Vrindavan, or Braja, which is known as Gokul, and then everything else is known as Goloka. Right? Does that make sense? So, that aspect, when we say Mathura, then part of Mathura is Braj, and part of it is Vaikuntha. Right? So when Krishna goes to Dwarka, you see he has four arms and everything like that. So that is just depending on which aspect it is there. And we see that those who worship the Lord Vaikuntha mood, even many of them worship Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? But it's with Aishwarya. So that will be a portion, that's the part of Vrindavan that has Aishwarya. Right? Does that make sense? So when he's saying here Mathura, it means Gokul or Braj. So depending on the context, you know where they're talking. Is it fully sweetness in Braj, or does it have a little bit of Aishwarya? So it might be Vrindavan that has like it's Vrindavan. It means you have the upper portion is Braj, and the lower portion is Gokul, right? And the lower portion is Goloka. So within that might have aspects of Vrindavan, or Mathura, Dwarka, you know. Does that make sense? You know, off also Ayodhya is out there somewhere. Hastinapur is related. Okay.
Maharaj, in this verse it is said that if someone stays one day in Mathura, the bhakti appears. But it is also said that if we have material desire, means dharma, apakama,
yes, means do the Brahmins in Mathura not have, you know, are they not well situated? So that if they're looking for that, then they're getting it. They're worshiping Krishna. But that's prominent for them, so that's what you get. Right? If we ask, well, how come I don't have it, just means that that's their prominent thing they want. So if we want prema, then we have to remove that desire. We may have facility or not, that's up to Krishna. But the point is that if by having money it will distract us, then we won't have. And if by having money it won't distract us, then we may or may not have money. Not that, okay, well then I'll give it a thing, then I'll get lots of money. Because then we may see is also devotees and they don't have, you know, and they just absorb like that. So we see those who have money and are fully absorbed in the Lord, and those who don't have money and are fully absorbed in the Lord.
Yes.
So that we have all the range of example. So.
But you see, person who are visiting Mathura,
you
get the benefit.
Yeah, you always get the benefit. But it also depends what you want. So there's always benefit in, like all these, you know, millions of pilgrims who come to Mayapur, they're all getting benefit. Now, whether they're serious about taking up Krishna consciousness or not, then if they do, then the opportunity is there. Like that. They may come here, get inspired, then they go back to their village and then join Namhata. And like that, and then that way they start progressing. You know what I'm saying? And then that says that when Brahmachari in the temple, you know, after Tulsi Puja, he's the Nama Guru for like half of Bengal.
Yeah.
Literally.
He's with
him.
He's there just next to him.
Sorry?
He's still just next to him.
Okay, yes. So good association.
Yes.
His good spiritual potency must like go through the walls and like that. So.
During Rath Yatra it comes and 10 days is in the pandal only with no fan and thoroughly service this Mahaprasadam distribution.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See? By staying only one day in Mathura, bhakti to the Lord appears.
Yes.
Now, it's up to us to cultivate that, take it seriously. Because by being there, then the seed of bhakti is planted. Now you cultivate it by watering with Hare Krishna, remove the weeds. It'll grow nicely. You do it very nicely, it goes very quickly. You do it less nicely, a little slower. Srila Prabhupada, living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, quote, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20, liberation, Brahma-Bhuta stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life. And it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds. Right? Because just the potency is so much that it's the process has started. It may take a while and this and that. There's like, remember I think it was one devotee was telling that they had, you know, which would be not necessarily, you know, a fairly standard thing, at least for is that devotees, then they would, you know, once they started actually dealing with the families like that, then, you know, they give a whole set of books of that to the family. And, you know, some of them take it more serious, some less. So for this one devotee, you know, because you have to have a place to put it, and this and that, and so many things. So it gets, you know, the box, and it gets put in the garage, and then slowly, just kind of disappears somewhere back there. It's there, but it's, you know. And so then, you know, you ask about the books. Oh, yeah, we're working on it, trying to get a new bookcase, and all that, you know, but, you know, it's not so important because there's so many other things. And then the one devotee was saying that at one point, something came up where things were, you know, not materially going very well. you know, very, they say, thought-provoking kind of situation. I don't know if some relative is, you know, sick or dying or, you know, something, or themselves, they've, you know, taken forever, now they've gotten old, you know, because probably there's a good chance they gave them those books back in the, you know, the 80s or 70s, right, you know. So, you know, you give it 20, 30 years later, then, you know. So whatever was the reason, then they went into the garage and found the books, got them out, started reading. So the point is that association is there. It may have taken 20, 30 years for them to take it seriously, but it's there. That's the whole point. That's what it means. That's why it says, even for a few seconds. It is further said, quote, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all, excuse me, all the desires and ambitions of the fruit of workers and of the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees, right? If they're getting all these, why would one, he wouldn't take care of the devotees who are working to please the Lord? These others are working to please themselves, and they get that. So if you're trying to please the Lord, why wouldn't that work? Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. End quote. In the Vedic literature, it also stated, quote, how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of God. Right, so that's why it says you go to all these holy places and then one can get liberation. But by going to Mathura, that's where you can develop prema. You know, it's by that that's seat of prema. So you go to all these other places and that's very nice, you get purified. But it's really by going to Mathura you get the real benefit. Okay, chapter 13, five potent forms of devotional service, 1-2-38. The last five items, verses 90-92, have inconceivable and astonishing power. What to speak of having faith in these items? If there is just a little relationship with these items, persons who are devoid of offenses can attain the level of bhava. Srila Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely, residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse a devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. 1-2-239. The power of serving the deity. Right, so now we go through these five. Right, so they've been mentioned before, bringing up, but now he's mentioning again. So what does that mean? Important, right? Repetition means important. Some of these things, this will be the third time or so we've gotten around. Maybe third, fourth, like this. The power of serving the deity. Oh, my friend, if you desire to enjoy with your friends and relatives, then do not look upon the form of the Lord called Govinda, wandering near Keshi Tirtha on the bank of the Jamuna River, with a slight smile on his lips, poised with three bends in his body, eyes glancing everywhere in a crooked fashion, flute placed on his red lower lip like a tender bud, and shining gloriously with a peacock feather. Srila Prabhupada. Regarding the worship of the form of the Lord, or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna who is standing on the bank of Keshi Ghat, bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Sri Murti, or deity of Krishna, by worshipping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and to begin the process of worshiping along with all of his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking, drinking, etc. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. Right? So, those means those who have the you know facility that they're near the temple or that can attend the temple programs, then they don't need to keep a full worship going at their home because they can go to the temple and take part in that. So you see, in many in the community, they come, they come to the programs, or they dress the deities, they cook for the deities, they do different things, so they're able to do those things. But if not, then one should have some kind of worship going on in the house. Right? Notice the Prabhupada said, when he said deities, he said install. He didn't say uninstall. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right? So in other words, installed, what's the difference between uninstalled and installed? Because it's both Krishna. Installed means you have a standard of worship, you maintain that. Does that make sense? It's home worship, so it can be simple. But the point is, it's steady. Right? The idea of uninstalled, we do whatever we like, whenever we like, however we like. Right? You know, so if that's not the central feature. It's that there should be regularity. So if you can once cook for the deity in a day, or you can only do the puja in the morning and make an offering then, that's all you can do, because during the day you don't know what will happen. If you cook, you'll offer it, but if you don't cook, you won't offer it. But you have some basic standard, you do that, then that's very nice. You know, the point is that there should be some regulation. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So this idea, uninstalled, it doesn't matter, then, yeah, just like uninstalled. Uninstalled wives. How does that work out for anybody?
Maharaj, when we change to the teeth, we select the standard. We select the standard that we can follow.
Yes, yes. I mean, there's some basic things, and we like that. You know, Prabhupada is given the basic how you do an artik, you know, make an offering. You know, like that. So basically, if you're eating something, it should be offered. You know, the idea is to make Krishna, you know, a central part of the house. That's the whole idea. Using his own sweet words, the author, in five verses that follow, expresses his ecstasy about the five items that he had mentioned in verses 90 to 92 by saying, "Do not look." The author actually means that one must look at Krishna. Quote, "By experiencing the sweetness of the Lord's form, you'll considering everything else to be insignificant. Therefore, look at that form of Krishna." End quote. This is the intention of the prohibition. Right? He's using the negative to get it to... You know, because as soon as you say, don't do that, why not? If I want to look, I can look. You know? Yeah, so then look. 1, 2, 2:40. The power of hearing Bhagavatam. Oh, idiots. Wow. Okay. How unfortunate you are. Ah, okay. Prabhupada says, my dear foolish friend.
Yes.
This is the...
Sandwich.
Huh?
Sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, idiots. How unfortunate you are. I think that you must have been hearing all the syllables one by one of the verses of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, because your ears are now denouncing the most auspicious goals of Dharma. The most auspicious goals of Dharma are to come, and even decrying the fourth goal of liberation, which is most blissful. Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami further writes, "My dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter your ears and go into your heart." But I mentioned that one devotee in New York, he was decorating for, I think, Janmashtami or something. Someone walked into the temple was wondering, you know, what's happening here and like that, you know, like, oh, we're making a festival, we're setting up, said, you know, anything we can do. And he pointed to this one devotee who was doing all the decorations. And he came over and he told him something to do. And when he started doing it, the devotee, I think he was up on a ladder and I started laughing. And the guy's thinking, you know, am I doing it wrong or that? And he says, no, no. He says, I'm just laughing that now you've done service. He says, that's it, your material life's finished.
There is a story. The thief hears about Bhagavatam, the beauty of the Lord. Then he goes to the forest and calling Krishna, Krishna.
Oh, the
Lord appears and he takes the jewelry of the Lord.
Oh, okay. And then?
Actually, he tells, no. My mother has given this jewelry. If you take it, she will not. She will blame me if I lose this jewelry. How he tells?
Actually, he hears about the beautiful form of the Lord, and then when he goes to the forest, but he was also very fascinated to hear that that small boy wears jewelry in the forest of Vrindavan. Then he goes to the forest and calls out Krishna's name, and Lord appears, and he's very much enchanted by the beauty of the Lord, but he's asking for the jewels from for the Lord also. So Krishna is a small boy, very, you know, nonchalantly, he denies giving that. And after Krishna goes away, then Krishna gives him one of the ornaments. Then this person goes to the person who is speaking the first time and tells that I met the person whom you said, I met, he's so nice and he's describing all his glory. But the Bhagavata Kathakar, he doesn't believe that. You know, foolish guy, what you are speaking, how Krishna appeared, is that. Then he comes and shows that ornament. And he understands this is some person. He has more faith than me, that's why he could.
Yeah.
It shows that. This pastime is told to show that who has faith, they gain the mercy.
In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 112, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruit of results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, one cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. So this renunciation they're talking about is throwing out like garbage the fruit of results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Lord. Right? Doesn't mean that you're, you know, how you say, sleeping on the side of the road or something. It means that you're giving up all these material desires. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Rasa Leela, the love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. In the above two verses, right, so if we're finding it nice, so just imagine then how tasty it is when one comes to this platform who is situated in pure devotion, right? And it just gets more and more nectar. In the above two verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. But to see the Sri Murtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was contemning the audience of Sri Murti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of this verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love, and society. Yes, yeah, so that's what he's saying, is that, you know, oh, you idiot, you're so foolish, you're so unfortunate that you must have been hearing all these, you know, the syllables of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. And because of that, now you're denouncing auspicious goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, all these things you're doing. So what a fool you are, you know. So it's just indirectly showing that by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you lose all material.
Yeah. Maharaj, in the outside world, it's like among the Hindus, it's very common. They say that don't become too knowledgeable in scriptures, then you'll become renounced and you'll become a sannyasi sadhu.
Yeah, yeah, they're worried about it. They know that's what happens. Yeah. No, yeah, yeah, I can do it. You can be a devotee and all that. Just be at home, you know, don't that. Don't get fanatic.
Yeah. Society,
friendship,
love, and society is mainly for
the grihastas. It's aimed at everybody. Of course, it's the main focus will be grihastas because they're the ones that are most absorbed in this. But the point is whatever your position, that has to be given up, because the brahmachari, to be a good brahmachari, can't be thinking like that. He has to be doing his duties. That the vanaprastha can't think like that, the sannyasa, so no one can think like that. You know, the grihastha has a license to be involved in that, but it should be just as a matter of the course of duties, as opposed to this is just really what they find exciting. Yes. Is that
the deity worship is for
everyone, mainly for means the deity worship. It does add the element of everyone, but it's specifically for grihasthas because it regulates their life. They have to make their life around. You know, it's just like if every day you have to, you know, go to Mangal Arati, and let's say, it means go to the temple and wake the deities or something, then you have to every day take your bath, have clean clothes. Then that sets so many things into motion. So then from there, then you have to go to bed on a certain time. From that, then you have to eat your dinner. And from that, then you have to spend the time with family. So it just regulates your whole life like that. Others then naturally will be following some form of regulative process, but the grihasthas are the ones that they, you know, they can do, but they might also not do. Right? Does that mean they won't be any less of a grihastha? Does that make sense? The brahmachari is not getting up or doing different things, you won't call him a brahmachari. The vanaprastha also, the sannyasi also, but the grihastha doesn't get up in the morning, he's a grihastha. Well, what do you want? He's a grihastha. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's like a shudra can't fall down for being a shudra. You know, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishnavas, they can fall from their position, but shudras, that's... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that then if they apply it, then they'll get so much dynamic benefit from that. Because you see, is that if the grihasthas are engaged, then that makes the whole situation work nicely. The idea of having the really strong brahmachari ashram and all that is that then you have people getting trained nicely, so much nice things go on, but if those individuals get married, they're trained nicely as a brahmachari, then they'll be able to be good grihasthas. That will make good vanaprasthas, good sannyasis, the whole thing. Does that make sense? Because the in the varnashram system, the grihasthas are the central feature. Right? Because the maximum amount are there, and they're the ones that maintain all the others. Everything goes on because of them. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Because in the ashrams, they're going out begging and that from the grihasthas. Like that. The grihasthas then are doing their occupation, and the vanaprastha sannyasis then by donations and things from the grihasthas, that's how that goes on. Right? Does that make sense? And grihasthas produce more brahmacharis who become grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. Like that. So it's a very major element. That's why it, from that aspect that it supports the system, is considered the best. right? As you're talking about the best situation for becoming free from material entanglement and all that, and so therefore that aspect of you're working back there, that's where the sannyasi is the best. But as far as the whole system running, that's because of the grihasthas. So when you make a shift of the movement to the grihastha community by making, the grihastha community, and take the focus off the temples, that's all right as long as that grihastha community is acting in that dynamic way and is making the system run. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like when you say the Chopati community, it includes brahmacharis. Does that make sense? So it has all the elements in it. So that's the thing, that they're trained, so then they run everything. Except for directly, I think, the deity worship and the brahmachari schedules and all that, that temple from there. But anything bigger than that, that takes organization, the management, you know, or the accounts, planning the big festivals, anything that requires money and organizing the community, that's done by the community. The brahmacharis just do the puja, their sadhana, and preach. That's what they do. Does that make sense? You know, so when you have the temple president there, that means he's the president of the brahmacharis. It doesn't mean he's the president of the community. Does that make sense? But his position is respected by the community. So if they need some advice, they'll take it from him. So, yeah, so it's just a matter of that. But if we just shift it to the community, that, oh, we don't have to be fanatic and be all these brahmacharis and all these heavy-duty guys, but then how have you created a community? How is it grihastha? How is it uplifting? You know what I'm saying? So that's the... So Prabhupada's point here is that, you know, that's the idea of the deity worship being, you know, it's very important for the grihasthas. Others being involved is always going to be good, but it's specifically the grihasthas should be involved. So if you have, you know, it's like in Los Angeles, they had the deity worship there and had 500 grihasthas. They're all engaged in worshiping the deity there. That's actually their business. The brahmacharis go out on the road and don't have deities, it's perfectly fine. Right? You know, sannyasis don't have deities. They don't have deities. It's not a problem. They just chant. They preach. The grihasthas are the ones that generally maintain deities, or the deity worship in the temple. Does that make sense? You know, if they can do, or then it's like a mutt. You know, where then they would take care of it. Like you see, the mutt was in their mutt. The worship's done by the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Does that make sense? So in other words, Chopa is interesting is that it's technically a mutt, but it's open and the grihasthas take care of everything. Right? Like the Gaudiya mutt is brahmacharis and they manage the temple amongst themselves, but the grihastha actually manages the temple, all the account, the administration, everything like that. So it's the same kind of concept. It's just done where it's, how you say, community friendly. For other places, they do the mutt thing, and it's not community friendly, and they're not mutts anymore. Okay. But it's going on, but no one would ever think of Chopati as a mutt. But it is, because only brahmacharis could stay there. Right? These days, they have buildings right around, everyone lives around and all that, but right in the temple, only brahmacharis. You know, but the focus is on the preaching and the worship and all that. I mean, the programs and all that, but you don't even think of it like that because that's how it's supposed to be. Right? When it's just, you know, hardcore brahmacharis and, you know, don't look at anybody, then it doesn't work out for... It doesn't work out so well. So, Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a praise of the Bhagavatam using the device of criticism. This and the previous verse are examples of the literary ornament called aprastuta prasamsa, or prashamsa, conveying the subject by something that is not the subject. Okay. But when irrelevant topics are introduced in reference to the topic at hand. It is all called aprastuta prashamsa. There are five types, stating the effect when the cause is the subject, stating the cause when the effect is the subject, stating the general when the particular is the subject, stating the particular when the general is the subject, and stating similarity. Kavya Prakasha, from 1099. Instead of the general topic, details of the topic are introduced. The general topics are serving the deity and hearing the Bhagavatam. But details are introduced as the focus. The aim is actually to become aware of the greatness of the general topic. Moreover, in the previous verse, you know, it's like, what do you call it? The wife asking the husband, while they're both standing there looking at the floor, whose socks are these? That's introducing the general topic, you know, to highlight the deep, you know, the specific topic. Moreover, in the previous verse, because the intention is to praise the form of the Lord, the literal statement that forbids ones from seeing Govinda is not the real meaning. Similarly, in the present verse, the real meaning is not contempt for hearing Bhagavatam, expressed by saying, O fools, hum ho dimba. Huh. Really? It comes from Sanskrit. You say someone's dim or dim-witted, they're not so smart. Because the auspiciousness of Dharma, Artha, and Kama and the happiness achieved through liberation are actually suppressed by the supreme bliss attained by Bhava, introduced through the hearing of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. In these two verses, the subjects are praised by the use of extreme criticism. To praise an object by criticizing it is the ornament called Vyaja Stuti, indirect eulogy. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Varna eva karana dvani pati katam nita means the syllables of the Bhagavatam have become travelers on the pathways belonging to the ears. End quote. The implication is that the foolish persons have not understood the meaning of what they have heard, just hearing syllables. O idiots, dimba, you must have been hearing, because from hearing those syllables, those ears are now criticizing Dharma, Artha, and Kama, and deriding even liberation. End quote. By extreme criticism in the two verses, one can understand that the author is praising the subjects in the two verses. This is the ornament called Vyaja Stuti. 1.2.241. The power of association with the devotee of Krishna. Right, so that's all in worship of the deity, right? So just by seeing Krishna, you know, and hearing things connected to Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Because it says the power of serving the deity. So that would be rendering various service, but also hearing and chanting about the Lord. Excuse me. So from that, then we see so much benefit is there. Now he moves on to the association of devotees. Ever since I saw a certain person whose body was washed with his own tears, whose hairs were standing on end, and who stumbled around with a joyous heart, while quivering to the extreme, my mind has for some reason become so attached to the form of Krishna that I have no attachment to my family. Srila Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami has similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Krishna. A devotee once said, it is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering of my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silent at home. I wish to go out to him always. The purport of the statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or, in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. Srila Jiva Goswami. The meaning here is, quote, my consciousness, mama matihi, dwells on abhiramate, The indescribable Shyamasundar, who has appeared in my heart, Iha, and thus my mind does not dwell, na abhiramate, on my family and house, Ihe. Right? So by the association of devotees, now we come to this point where we're just absorbing Krishna. Right? This person says, he says the devotee, and then from that, now he's just absorbing the Lord. So that's the point. The effect, the association of devotees means we become absorbed in the Lord. Right? Because that pleases Krishna. Right? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.